Nothing like a good chapel choir number to make you miss being in chapel, doesn't it? It's good to see some of you that we haven't seen in a while. If you're not in my class or whatever, I haven't been able to see you. So it was so good to do that. Thanks, Colin, for stopping texting me in the middle of my message. That's good. But it is good to just kind of interact with you young people. We really miss you. And for us faculty members, it's different for us too. And not being able to interact with you and joke with you and all those kind of things, even though we have a little bit of that in the video chat, is really something that we miss dearly. And can't we wait to get back together with us? And we're struggling with that too as pastors, just working through that. And I hope that you will pray for your pastor. Just a little kind of funny thing before we jump into the Word of God. My wife and I did a spoof video last week about all the things that people have said about pastors and online preaching. And so if you get a chance, you can go check out my Facebook page or Emmanuel Baptist Church Kings Mountain. It's listed there under our YouTube page too, Emmanuel Baptist Church Kings Mountain. And I have a good laugh about all the things pastors learned about trying to record services online. Well, let's go back to the Word of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 18 again, as Dr. Beal mentioned, we have been in a series on image bearers. This is the last of those messages, just to remind you again of a number of things. We talked about the meaning of image bearer. What does it mean? We did this back in the fall. What does it mean to be an image bearer? And we walked through that process of reflecting God to other people. And we talked about the mountain to climb for image bearers, and that is, we're sinners. Our hearts are deceitful. We're desperately wicked. And you need to remember that. Don't forget that you have a flesh that's going to fight you. As Brother Bray likes to often say, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. That passage in Romans that talks about that. It's just constantly there. And so we struggle through working through that mountain to climb. As we're going to bear God's image, we have this sin nature that wants to fight us tooth and nail. And just when we think we're okay, that deceptive heart is the one that's deceiving us into thinking that we're okay. And we talked about the mind of the image bearer. The fact is, the mind is the battlefield. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And then we looked at the meditation of the image bearer. We must spend daily time meditating on God's word. And we use Dr. Jim Berg's MAP method: memorize, analyze, personalize the text of scripture so that it becomes literally a part of you. I just finished reading a book that was a tremendous book, and he kind of relates to the idea that the more you meditate on scripture, the more you let it change your thinking process, then scripture becomes part of your DNA, if you will, rather than part of the sin nature that we have there. And the more we do that, the more it's important that we allow the Word of God to transform us. Then last time we preached in chapel a couple of weeks ago, we began a message on the ministry of the image bearers. And our theme passage has been 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 through chapter 4 and verse 7. Let's read that text of scripture again today. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Okay, now this glass, the mirror. What is the mirror that we are beholding God into? It's the Word of God. God's Word is a mirror, and in that we can behold the glory of the Lord. Then when we spend that time, when we stoop below the Word of God and bow before Him, then that allows us to be changed. We're changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. All right, first chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, because we're changed, because of all that Paul has laid the foundation for in chapter 3, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, the ministry of the image bearer. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and who the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not us, ourselves. We don't preach about us, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. That verse is a power-packed verse. Some things we're not even going to touch on today. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about to be made into God's image involves a communicated mandate that through the creative industry of God's sub-creatures, we should together make the invisible God visible to those around us. That's what God wants for us. We talked about the background of the ministry, looking back at chapter 3, verses 2 through 12. We talked about the backbone of ministry. We're not going to quit. We're not going to faint. We looked at the basis for our ministry. What do we base our ministry on? Well, we don't base it on dishonesty. There's a lack of dishonesty, that cunning false wisdom, that we're not going to handle the word of God deceitfully. There's a love demonstrated. It's made plain. Paul says at the end of verse 2 of chapter 4, there's the lost who are deceived, and that's why we want to bear this image before them so that the lost people who are deceived can come to the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he talks about the light of doctrine, teaching them and what it will do in their hearts and lives. Let's look at number 4 then today as we work through this passage. Number 4 is what I've called the beginning of ministry. The beginning of ministry. In other words, the Bible says that we must have light to give light. That's a very simple concept, isn't it? If I have this light, I can't give this light. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Now, young people, I know we're all on distance here, and you've heard this many times because you've been a student and ambassador, but can I remind you that you cannot have a ministry to others in which you do not personally partake of the salvation of Jesus Christ? In other words, that light needs to be in your heart. You need to make sure of your testimony. You need to make sure that the doubts in your mind are settled, because this light is something that I must have in order to share. And he says that the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, the word treasure there means a storehouse or a coffer. It's the place in which good and precious things are collected and laid up. Perhaps you have some kind of treasure chest. You may not exactly call it that. Guys, if you don't know this, probably a lot of the girls have this thing called a hope chest. And they've put things in there over the years that's going to make up their household. Or maybe it's a special set of dishes or a particular cup or whatever it may be. And those are precious treasures. I have something on my desk that our church gave me last year, almost a year ago, that's very precious to me. It's a treasure. When you teach someone about Christ, you are not simply spreading a religious ideology, as one author says. God has entrusted his likeness into your hands, and you've been changed by the glory of the gospel. And so therefore, he wants you to communicate that to others. It is far beyond us to produce a power that can change lives. See, young people, our job is to present the gospel, to live a life that people want to mimic, if you will, want to pattern after. In other words, when they look at us, they'll say, whatever they have, that's what I want. I'm not going to get political or argumentative or whatever on this, but can I tell you something that's really kind of broken my heart through this whole coronavirus? Is the amount of posts that Christians have made that is inflammatory, that is argumentative, and so forth. And I wonder if lost people come to us, even through our social media, and look, will they see the reflection of Jesus Christ, or will they see a political agenda or whatever it may be there? May everything we do reflect Jesus Christ. The beginning of our ministry is that we are changed. Is the word of God changing you? Not just in salvation, but day by day, is it changing you? We must do our part but we must depend on God to do his part. It is his power that changes lives, his power working through you and his power in other people's lives. Let him do the work, the beginning of ministry. But I want us to see number two, the brother of ministry. And we're going to be go beyond our text a little bit, because it's important as we finish out this chapter to realize what Paul is saying. Okay, what does he say here in verse 8? Well, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about the body, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, Paul, we'll talk about that in just a minute, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, that's which is around us, but the things which are not seen, the eternal. And Paul's going to give us that qualification, if you will. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Okay, so what is the bother of ministry is what I meant to say, the bother of ministry. What's the bother, if you will, of ministry? Well, number one, there's difficulty. There's difficulty. Paul says, we're in trouble. We're perplexed. We're persecuted. We're cast down. Now, when Paul says that, he's not just referring to being quarantined in our house. Paul knows what he's talking about. When he talks about his light affliction, wow, what a list Paul could call as his light affliction. We don't have time to turn to that passage, but you know there's a passage in there where he talks about he was beaten and he was stoned and he was shipwrecked and he's lived in the sea these many days and he's in perils often and done all these things. And Paul says, all of that is but a light affliction. So today, ministry is difficult. It's not how we were trained, if you will. It's not how we're used to doing things. We're not used to teaching. We're not used to preaching through a camera. We're not used to recording our messages or preaching to an empty auditorium. But can I tell you, in the midst of trouble, a virus is walking around. In the midst of distress, well, I sure wish this wasn't this way. In the midst of persecution, and some say that governors and things are attacking churches, and we're not going to get into that. But if they are, okay, we're not cast down. I mean, we are cast down, but we're not destroyed. Paul says, look, amidst all those bothers, if you will, I'm not going to let it stop me. I'm not going to quit in the ministry. Can I ask you, do you focus on the difficulty or the deliverance? Now we could focus on the difficulty. And please understand, I'm ready for this thing to be over with too. And I really wished I was in chapel with you. I really wished I was preaching to my people. The other day, I think it was yesterday, I thought, okay, Lord, I'm just ready to go back to normal life. I understand that, you know. But do we concentrate on the difficulty or do we concentrate on the deliverance? See, God has already redeemed us. And we have an eternal home in heaven where we'll get to live for all of eternity. What we concentrate on makes a big difference. So when he talks about the bother, if you will, of ministry, there's difficulty. But number two, he talks about death. I mean, he says, always bearing about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. One author said it this way, Christianity has a similar basic component that lies at the heart of everything godly. That component is death. In the biblical worldview, The life comes only from death. Wow. In other words, our life came because Jesus Christ died. Can I tell you, you're only going to bear fruit as you die to self and allow God to plant you so that you may bear fruit for him. Luke 9:23, and he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. John 12:24-25, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Have you died to self? Have you just said, it doesn't matter what my ambitions are. It doesn't matter what my view of things were. It doesn't matter what my view of my graduation was going to be and my wedding's going to be. Some of you are getting ready to be married, and is that going to be messed up? I know it is. A couple that I'm counseling, everything's changed for them. That's part of it. But do I trust the sovereign plan of God? Have you died to self? My daughter currently is in labor with our 9th grandbaby. And generally, my wife is there with her, but she's not allowed to be there because of the coronavirus. Is that what we wanted? No, not personally. But this morning, as we were driving to church, we prayed and said, God, if you could make it happen, she's only a little over an hour from us. If for some reason the hospital would say, yes, your mother could say, boy, Lord, we would love that, but not our will, but yours be done. We have to die to self. And that means sometimes we don't get what we want. Death is a part of being an image bearer. Jesus' death paid for our penalty. Our death is the only way that God is going to use us. But then we look, number three, at a destiny. And Paul lays this out for us. And basically, Paul talks about the word renewed here. He says, though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is renewed. What does it mean to be renewed? Well, if you look at the passage that I think is a great counseling passage, put off, renew, put on. Where does renewal take place? It takes place in our mind. As we spend time in God's word, we allow it to change us. We're renewed day by day. The word temporal comes from two Greek words meaning for a season, for just a season. This is all that we're dealing with here. Even if life is good here, it's only for a season. And if it's bad, it's only for a season. Is the coronavirus only for a season? We believe so. But if it weren't, it would still only be a for a season because you and I will not live on this earth forever. Are you focused on things that will last a season or things that will last for all of eternity? Hey, listen, I don't think it's wrong for you to have temporal things. God doesn't say you can't ever own a house or whatever. I spent some time working in my yard yesterday. I have a really pretty planter that had fallen apart, and someone built a new one for me, and I was staying in it and getting it in place and transplanting all my plants. There's nothing wrong with that, but can I tell you, that is not supposed to be our concentration. Our concentration is supposed to be on the eternal. I love what one author said. He said, the preservation of nature, the sun, the seasons, the very air we breathe, is designed to give us an arena for serving God, not for ignoring his claims on our lives. Someone else said, the world has no solution. God has called us to be the solution. He has given us the responsibility of influencing the culture for Christ. You have a treasure that's stored in this earthen vessel that people may reflect, that people may see the reflection of God in you. And when they see that, that their lives will be transformed as well. Will you share this treasure with others? Will you be a genuine reflection of God so that people will see and say, I want that. There's something different there. Let's pray together. Father, help us to be genuine image bearers. And this ministry that you've given us, because you've made us image bearers, we get that incredible privilege of bearing that image to the world. What a privilege it is to even be part of that process. May you be exalted in everything that we do and say. May we concentrate on the eternal and not the temporal. May we not be discouraged in difficult times. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this ministry. And we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.